First of all, Tamar. And when I introduce you to Tamar and her chapter that introduces her to us in the scripture is Genesis 38, I would like to introduce you to a woman who we might call defrauded. And that's a word I want you to always remember when you think of Tamar. Think of a woman defrauded. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, first of all, God had to kill her husband because he was a wicked sinner, a rebellious man. And God went right down and reached down and personally, it's not very often he does this, they stand out in history, and he personally struck him dead because he did not like what he did. Number two, in spite of that grief in Genesis 38, not only was she a widow because God had directly killed her husband, but she was forgotten, she was lied to, she was overlooked, and she finally takes the law into her own hands. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you know what happened. One of Judah's sons had married her. She had become a widow. Judah promised he would get her a new husband. Her father-in-law said, I'll get you a new husband. So she goes back home, puts on her widow's raiment, and waits. And waits. And she finds that Judah has taken care of everything else except for her. And so the scripture tells us that she takes matters into her own hands. God never condones her sin. He just describes it. So she goes, she sits, she poses as a harlot. She has a child out of wedlock through having an incestuous affair with her own father-in-law. In all this, she was defrauded. She was defrauded of a normal life. By no means did she have any type of a normal life. She was defrauded out of a happy marriage. She didn't have a happy marriage. She picked someone or was chosen, and she wanted to spend her life with him, and God struck him down. She was defrauded out of a good name. People said, that's the woman that God had to judge her husband. That's the woman that got involved with her father-in-law. She was defrauded out of having a sterling reputation. She was robbed of all these things by one little thing called sin. And so we see a woman that is living 38 centuries ago, a woman that is defrauded. She's been defrauded by losing her husband. She's been defrauded by being overlooked by her father. She's been defrauded by allowing sin to make her take matters into her own hands. She's been defrauded as she has this illicit union. But in spite of all that, God graciously places her here as a mother of the promise. Why? Why? Well, do you know anyone like this? Do you know anybody that's been cheated out of a normal life, out of a happy marriage, out of a good name, out of having a good reputation because of sin? Just as 38 centuries ago, God looked down at this woman who was a sinner, and he said, you know what? I have a plan for you. In spite of your sin, which you are responsible for, in spite of your sin, which you are guilty for, I will forgive you. And God brought her in. And Matthew 1:3 says, and to Judah were born two sons, Perez and Zerah. And as if to elevate her for all time, not as glorifying her sin, but marvelously glorifying her Savior, God said, there is a mother of the promise. There is a woman who portrays God's plan. A wicked sinner forgiven. A wicked sinner that is allowed to be part of the line that would bring the Redeemer to humanity, to bring Christ. One who portrays God's grace.